If you have your Bible, and I do hope that you have brought your Bible, would you turn with me in that Bible that you brought to Luke chapter 18? I just can't seem to get out of the book of Luke lately. And I fully had a different message prepared for this morning, intending to preach. And God really, in my study yesterday morning, I've never preached this, I've never heard it preached. God really touched my heart with this thought. As a preacher, and I'm sure Brother Josh would agree, you like to get a thought, a few days in advance. Then, kind of study on a little bit and stew on a little bit and give it what we might call a gestation period, Because what we do is we deliver on Sunday morning, right? Deliver the message. So you like it to kind of grow and, gestate. I like that word. I heard Alistair Begg use that. I love it. He says it better than I do, too. But God laid this on my heart yesterday, and I want to be obedient to him. So in Luke chapter 18, and I'll begin at verse 9 in just a moment, but I want to read something before I get into the scripture. And this is a letter that a pastor received from someone who had visited his particular church. I want to read this to you. Dear Kathy, I attended your church yesterday. Although you had invited me, you were not there when I got there. So I sat alone. After sitting down, a lady came up to me and informed me that I was in her seat. I was so embarrassed because I didn't realize some seats were reserved. So I climbed over some people that were hugging the aisle and found another seat. During the singing, I was surprised to note that some of the church people weren't singing at all. Instead, they looked around or just stared into space. The pastor's speech, notice that word, the pastor's speech was interesting, although, she says, some members didn't seem to think so. They looked bored and restless. I recognized some of my friends a few pews in front of me, but they were giggling and passing notes, and I thought, how rude. The speaker talked about the reality of faith, which I decided I did not have enough of. The message spoke to my heart, and I thought about walking forward, but I was unsure. I saw some people walking out before the service was over, so I figured it must not be too important to stay to the end, so I slipped out too. As I left, I said good morning to one couple, but they were in a hurry and must not have heard me. My parents don't go to church. I came alone yesterday, and I was hoping to find a place to truly worship and find some love. I'm sorry, I did not find that in your church. Man, that really just spoke to my heart. It really just moved in me. Because I would hate for anyone to ever come to Unity Free Will Baptist Church and leave with that impression. Wouldn't you? Now I want to read the passage of Scripture, and I'm going to take my text from probably the last verse I read. Beginning in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's key to understanding what the Lord's going to tell us. Verse 10 says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Now here's my thought today, and I hope that you can see this in here. Because here's where I'm coming from, and I'm going to explain this as I go. I've never even thought about this like this until yesterday morning God spoke to me. Verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Here's my question to you today. Think about this. And this is not going to be a long message, so just stay with me, okay? How are you going to go home today? How are you going to go home today? Whether you're a Whether this is the first time you've ever been here, whether you're a 50-year Christian, whether you just became a Christian, whether you've never been, I want to ask you something. How are you going to go home today? You know, I thought about that. I thought this morning I woke up very early and I was laying in bed and I was just talking to the Lord, and this gestated a little bit during that time. And I thought about the guy in Acts chapter 3, and I love the way he went home. I love how he went up to the gate, which is called Beautiful, at the temple. He went to the temple. He had to be carried there, but he got there, and he was there looking for something to help him in his need. But it was that morning that Peter and John came by, and he looked at them looking to get some silver and gold. But Peter said to him that day, "Hey, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have, I can give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible says immediately he got up and he began to walk. Let me tell you something. That guy went home a lot differently than he came. Right? He couldn't walk there, but bless God, he could walk home, because let me tell you, he came to the temple looking for something from the Lord. I mean, you know what I think this boils down to? And stay with me. And I, this is coming from a heart of love, I promise you. I love this church and I love you. And I hope that you'll listen. I wonder sometimes what our attitude is when we come to the house of God. Because what I see in these two men, and that's really, Jesus kind of lays this out. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray. And what I see are two very different attitudes toward the temple, toward God. Two very different attitudes. Now, if you and I, one's a Pharisee, one's a publican, if you and I were to make an assessment of these two men, most of us would agree that the Pharisee would have been the more acceptable out of the two, right? I mean, he was socially accepted, you know, religiously and politically accepted. He was much more popular among the people than the publican would have been. And he was, by every account, religious. He was religious. And that means so much. And oftentimes, even we can be fooled into believing that just because someone is religious, that's enough. My friends, I've been telling you, and I tell you again this morning, that religion is never enough. It is never enough. You know, it's interesting to me that the Pharisees were the very crowd that Jesus was the hardest on. Do you know that? I mean, the religious leaders of the day, he was harder on them than he was harlots, on drunkards, on anybody else. The ones that he scathed and he gave hard messages to more than anyone else were the Pharisees. Matthew 23 is a chapter devoted to, "Woe, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You do this, you're like whited sepulchers. You look good on the outside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones." I mean, he was hard on this religious crowd. He said, "Woe, you scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites." He was hard on them. Listen, the word Pharisee means separated. And they kept the traditions of the elders to the T, along with the law of the Leviticus law. They kept it to the utmost and went beyond what they had to keep. But Jesus was not impressed with their religiosity. They were hypocritical. They were uncompassionate. You know, they were the very incarnation of legalism. And it seems to me that they had very little love. So that's the Pharisee. But then there's the publican. Now, our assessment would have been just on face value that the Pharisee probably was more acceptable. But now, look at the publican now. Look at the flip side of this. This guy's a tax collector. Now, even in our day, I don't know about you, but, you know, the IRS doesn't appeal to me. You know, all they want is money, right? Well, they were no better accepted in his day. Matter of fact, these publicans were normally Jewish people who worked for Rome. And what they would do is they would sit at these tables in certain areas, and when people come by, they would have to pay their taxes, and what they would do would charge them more than they needed to pay, and they would take, you know, what was charged more. In other words, they would extort money from their own people. So needless to say, now, if any of us were to really analyze that, we would say them people are rotten, nasty scoundrels, right? I mean, they're extorting money. They're taking money from us. And so we neither would we, you know, like the publicans, you know, in that setting. You know what's interesting to me? Think about this. Jesus, when he called his 12 disciples, called one whose name was Simon the Zealot. You know what that means? He was a patriot, and he stood against Rome, and he would have overthrown Rome militarily if he could have. But you know who else he called? He called Levi, whom he called Matthew, who was a publican, a tax collector. And those two men, though very different, became part of his 12 apostles. You know, there is power in the gospel of Christ to change people's lives. That's the church, people of all different backgrounds. All right, so I've given you the two men. Jesus said two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, one a publican. I've set that for you. You know what a Pharisee is. You know now what a publican is. Let's look at these. Number one, the attitude of the Pharisee. Why was he there? Why was he in church? Or why was he at the temple that day? Here's what I think. I think, and Jesus bears this out, I believe he was there to be seen and heard more than anything. You see, the Pharisee, and here's my assessment of him right as I study his life. I believe this Pharisee is delusional. You know why? Let me tell you why. Number one, he's delusional about himself. Notice what it says when he's talking to the Lord. He says, he uses I think, five different times. He says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even public. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was delusional about himself. You know what he thought? He thought that he was everything God would ever want in a man. He was. That's what he thought about himself. He had a radically false view about who he was. He was delusional. He talks about his fasting. You know, it was only required for a Jew to fast one time a year during Passover. He talks about his tithing. He goes way above and beyond the tithes that were required from God in the Levitical law. He goes way above and beyond that. And he stands there and he talks about himself. He is delusional. His pride has blinded him in such a way that he believes he has it going on. You know, it's like this illustration I read. This little girl, she went to a new junior high, and she went. And the first couple weeks, she come home and she was all smiles. And mom said, "Well, what are you so happy about?" She said, "They had a contest today, and I was voted. I was voted the most likely to succeed." And she said, "Well, that's great. I'm glad." You know, she come home a couple weeks later, smiling and happy. She said, "What are you so happy about?" She said, "They had another contest and I won." She said, "What was it?" She said, "I was voted most popular." And she come back a couple weeks later, and she was smiling. She said, "What are you so smiling?" "They had another contest and I won. I was voted most prettiest." She come home a couple weeks later, and she was all down and out. And mom said, "What's wrong?" She said, they had another contest." She said, "Well, didn't you win?" She said, "Yes, I won." "Well, what was it?" "I was voted most stuck up." That is exactly how this Pharisee was. He mistakenly thought his works justified him before God. He thought his going beyond what was required was all that he needed to be right with God. He was delusional about himself. Number two, he was delusional in his prayer. Because notice what it says. He prays within himself, it says in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus within himself. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. He said, "Woe you Pharisees, because you make long, pretentious prayers that you may be seen." He's standing there. Notice, and his very posture tells us that he's approaching God with pride in his heart. You will never, you know, the only people that leave empty when they come to God are the ones that are full of themselves. Amen? The only ones leave empty when they come to God are those that are full of themselves. Pride separates us from God. Pride blinds us to our own inadequacies and our own needs. And this Pharisee stands, and his posture is that of pride. And his resume is given, and his prayer never goes past the ceiling, because all that he's doing is giving this pretentious prayer for those around him to hear and say, "Wow, this guy is something." I hope that was turning off. You know, I have been in situations where I have prayed so other people could hear my prayer. And let me explain that. You know, it may be at a hospital with a sick person. And a pastor told me that a long time. Well, Brother Lester told me, he said, you can pray in those situations, and you can pray because you know they're listening to you. You're talking to God, but they're listening. And you say, "Lord," you know, you pray for the person, but then you say, "Lord, would you just let these folks here know you love them, that you died for them, that they need you to." You know, you can pray things like that. That's not a pretentious prayer. But when you pray just to pray with pretty words and articulate, you know, like you have some inside connection to God, listen, for other people to hear, that's not praying at all. So he was delusional about himself. He thought he was everything God wanted in a man. He was delusional about his prayer life because he really didn't pray at all. Pride keeps us from getting any prayers to God. And number three, he was delusional about the publican. Because you know, notice what he does there? He compares himself. He says in verse 11, "I'm not as other men." Well, that's kind of general. But then he points to the publican. I can just kind of see it. He says, "And this publican." Do you know? I mean, think about it. Now, he's judging this publican on his reputation, on his vocation. He's judging this publican unjustly because he's in no position to make this judgment. And so he points out, "I am not like this guy." Let me tell you, every one of us can find somebody in the church or maybe connected with the church that we can point to and say, "Well, if they're going to heaven, I'm going." Right? You can find somebody to compare yourself to that you might come out looking pretty good. But I got news for every one of us. The comparison is not within the pew. The comparison is Jesus Christ. You can always stack up good against somebody else, but you will always, always, always come short when you compare yourself with what the standard really is. The standard is Christ. You know, I read this story too. It was this guy in Scotland. He said he had this white cottage, and it was looking kind of dingy, and he painted it with the brightest white he could find. And he painted the whole thing, and it looked so good. And people even comment as they went by. It was on a hillside with green in the back. They'd say, "That is so white. Oh, it's so beautiful, that color. It's so beautiful the way you painted it." And then he said, you know, summer ended and winter came, and fall came and then winter, and snow began to fall. And he said he was driving up to his cottage one day that he thought was so white, and he seen that cottage against a white background of pure white snow. And he said, "That cottage wasn't as white as I thought it was." You see, when we compare ourselves with what the standard is, with what the real purity is, will always come up short. He was absolutely delusional about the publican because he looked at him, and in his mind, he was the guy God would have chosen. He was the guy who had the long resume. He was the guy who was religious, and this publican had no business whatsoever being in the temple at all. All right, there's the Pharisee. Two men went up to the temple to pray, Jesus said. There's the Pharisee. What's his attitude? More likely to be seen, more likely to be heard, more likely not there for the right reason. Now there's the publican. This is the other one. Verse 13. Let's look at his action. The publican standing afar off. He wouldn't even approach the throne, we might say. He wouldn't even lift up so much as his eyes in humility. Let me tell you, the actions and the attitude of the publican tell me he was there for the right reasons. He was there because he realized that he was far short of what God wanted. The Bible says there that he smote his breast. Why? Because I believe he's saying, "And here's my problem, God. My heart needs fixed." Wouldn't even lift up his eyes. Listen, understanding the awesomeness and the holiness and character of God. Stays afar off, knows that he is unworthy. And what does he do? He simply cries out for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wow. Our assessment may have to be tweaked a little bit, right? Because the publican's attitude was one of humility, true seeking, true repentance, a sense of his own inadequacies and shortcomings. Now, here's the application, and I'm near the end of this message, because what I started out with spoke to my heart. Because, you know, I'm concerned. As a pastor, you get concerned. You feel sometimes the church is kind of stagnant. You feel sometimes people slipping a little bit. You get concerned about lackadaisical attitude toward worship, towards church attendance, towards the things of God. And we live in a world that is constantly pulling us, constantly, like waves on the shore, beating at us, wearing us down, eroding us, if we allow it to. We need to really come to the house of God with the right attitude. Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the publican. Now, again, our assessment has to be re-looked at, because the Pharisee, he went home. So let me just go back to the question. Again, I don't want to get all over with this, but I want to focus on what my thought was. How are you going to go home today? You say, can one church service really make that much difference? Oh, yes, it can. I think every church service can make a difference. I think that when we come to the house of God with the right attitude, when we come with the attitude, hey, I get to go to church today. I get to worship the King of Kings today. I want to hear from heaven. I want to sit in Sunday school. I want to get some preaching. I want to get some singing. I want to worship him. When we come with the right attitude, I believe we go home in a much more spiritual, strengthened frame of mind. Amen? When we come with the attitude that, hey, we're gonna go, and there's probably folks right now sitting there saying that in their mind about what I'm saying. When we come with the attitude, I'm gonna go in there, I'm gonna get it over with. Some might come, I just want to get my kids there. Some might come, it's just kind of what we do. Listen, we've got to come with the right attitude to the house of God. So here's the application. How will you go home today? Well, how did the Pharisee go home? Jesus said it was the publican that went home justified rather than the other man. The Pharisee, the religious guy, the guy that came with the wrong attitude, he went home unchanged and empty. I'm telling you, when you come to the house of God, God can fill your soul if you want him to. When you go to a restaurant, if you want a cup of coffee, what do you have to do? Turn the cup over, right? Don't come to the house of God with the wrong attitude, with your cup facing down, because if that's the attitude, you're going to go home with an empty cup. But if you'll come, listen, if you'll come with the right attitude, God will bless you. You can go home differently. Let me be honest with you. Okay. Let me be frank here, and I'm giving you this from a heart of love. If during your church time, playing on your phone is more important than church, shame on you. You're not here with the right attitude. If critiquing what people wear, if critiquing all the singing, if critiquing the preaching is all you're about, your attitude is wrong. I love you. We have to come to the house of God with the right attitude. Come like the Pharisee. When we come, let's realize our own unworthiness. Let's realize our own inadequacies. I don't care how long we need the Lord. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. See, the Pharisee went home unchanged and empty, but the publican went home unburdened and changed. Unburdened. Do you remember that? You remember when you first got saved and Christianity was so exciting? When you had that first love zeal, and man, it was so exciting, but now it's just maybe kind of become, you know, a humdrum. Listen, let's come humbly. Let's come seeking. Let's come sensitive to His voice. Let's come expecting an experience with God rather than just going through the motions. Let me give you this, and I'm going to close. If you haven't felt a touch from the Lord in your life for a long time, you need to really check yourself. If you haven't been blessed by God in a long time, you've just been sitting on a pew and just kind of going through, and things in your life maybe not going. Listen, maybe it's time to reevaluate your priorities. If you haven't heard His voice in so long you can't remember the last time, maybe today you need to say, "Here I am, Lord, speak to me." Maybe you need to just make yourself available. Empty yourself of other things that are keeping His hand from moving in your life. And can I say this? If that's you, don't blame anybody but the person in the mirror. Because you don't have to stay there. You can have victory. You can have victory. Let's get a song. How are you going to go home today? Verse 14 says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house." Jesus said, "This guy went home shouting. This guy went home justified. This guy went home unburdened. This guy went home with a blessing in his heart." But the Pharisee came with the wrong attitude, and he went home empty. So how are you going to go home today? How are you going to go home? Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for your grace to preach it this morning. I preach it from a heart of love and concern, Lord. Would you speak to our hearts today? And even more importantly, would you help us to be sensitive to that voice? Would you help us to be sensitive to your tug on our heart and your sorting out in our minds things that maybe need to be dealt with in our own lives? Maybe today there's someone here, Lord, who doesn't know you. Maybe today you would speak to them in a very powerful way, because you are still in the saving business. And we have so many here are a witness to that. Thank you. Speak to us today, and may we be attentive to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.